Welcome to Real Talk Christian Podcast, where we drink coffee or nothing and have real conversations about faith, culture, and society. I'm your host, Chris Fuller.
And I'm Mark Kyle, but I brought water. I have water.
I have water, too. Yeah. But on today's episode, it's another one of our little series that we got going on of signs of a mature Christian. But this one is entitled Love for Others. So, Mark, you ready to dive into the love chapter?
Let's go. Well, bruh, today, you lied. No, you lied.
Today is the day of love.
You lied. You said we was drinking nothing. I'm like, I got water.
Well, I didn't see your water. I didn't want to be like, oh, we're drinking coffee when we're not. I mean, I got a little bit of bubbly left and my lemonade water. But anyways.
Hey, guess what? You know Jesus turned water into wine.
Well, hang on. Before we start.
Oh, but I had a good joke.
Before we start.
Dang it.
That's Jesus telling you, no, Mark, no, that's the Holy Spirit.
But it was going to be a water into wine turned you into fine joke. It was going to be good.
Okay.
But too late now.
But now you got to pray to Jesus because it's your turn for our prayer to open up the show.
I got
to
pray right after doing a really bad joke.
Yep, you do.
Okay, well, he did turn you into fine, brother. All right, so we talked about this. We want to keep God the center of the show. So we're going to pray before the show kind of set our hearts and mind right. And then we'll jump in. Sound good?
Let's do it.
All right. Father God, we do thank you for just the show. God, it's been almost 5 years of lots of conversations. God, we do just pray that all the conversations we've had in the past, this one, the one moving forward, do honor and glorify you. Give us the words to speak. Give us the clarity of thought and help us walk out of here loving one another just a little bit better. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
He turned you into fine, brother.
And you just keep going back to it, and just it's still not.
I have
better.
One joke. Well, it's because we watched a YouTube video for 20 minutes of Bible jokes. They're all Bible jokes.
40 Bible jokes. But anyway,
there were some good ones.
We are not drinking any coffee today.
Nope.
But we did drink coffee earlier in the night.
Yep.
On some previous episodes of Tocoa Coffee, Ethiopian Bundle. But we're drinking water, flavored water, whatever.
We went from coffee to bubbly to just
water.
Water. The stuff that goes before it turned into dirty bean water, before they carbon dioxide. Is that what they do to make it bubbly?
This is before they send it to the yum yum machine.
How do they make it bubbly? Isn't it like carbon dioxide? No. It's the big tanks of the. Why can't I think what they're called?
I'm just gonna watch you struggle through this. It's called carbonate water or carbonate.
Well,
water?
No. But they shoot air into it to make it carbonated. Like they add stuff to it. Like we had the machines in the back of Dairy Queen that you would add it to the water, then you would add it to the syrup, and it would make it all bubbly.
Okay.
Carbonation.
Anyways, but we're not here to do banter. That's going to take place over in the Facebook group.
But and if someone tell me how carbonated water is
made. If you are not a part of the Facebook group,
you have no idea what's going on.
What? No!
So if you're not a part of the Facebook group, go over to Real Talk Christian Podcast Community and join now so we can continue to enjoy the banter. Mark is really having a hard time right here, not bantering, so he really needs you guys to go over to the group so we can banter.
All right, Mark. Back on now?
Yeah, you're out of timeout.
Oh, yay!
There you go.
I'm out of timeout.
Why don't you go ahead and read the review for us today, brother?
All right, so this is from that guy, Jalen.
That guy.
Who's that guy, Jalen? Make yourself known in the Facebook group. That guy, Jalen, says RTC is goated.
Well, I said the one.
Oh, RTC is the one. The title is the one. Get your round of applause ready. Because RTC is
I don't remember what
goated.
All right.
Real guys talking about real stuff. It's the only podcast I listen to anymore. Keep it up, fellas. Well, that guy, Jalen, reach out to us at realtalkchristianpodcast@gmail.com and we will get that mini swag bag in the mail for you. And if you want a mini swag bag, leave us a rating and review over on Spotify. Send us a message through the email. Like not just, I mean, DM, sure, that's cool, but I'm going to tell you to email us anyway. So
email
just email.
Or text the number 574-400-5352.
Because the wonderful Janelle has been taking care of that for the last couple of years and she's been crushing it.
And we suck at keeping up with it. So
we try.
If you want your mini swag bag, that's the way to do it. Anyways.
We're jumping in at the 4-minute mark.
We're going to jump back in.
Let's go.
When we've been jumping.
It's just wild, man.
I know, it's crazy. But anyway, so
recap the last two episodes.
So the very first episode of the series that we did, and again, these won't all be sequential forever, unless that's what you guys want.
We'll see what happens.
The first episode was how, as a mature Christian, the whole series is signs of a mature Christian, right?
Yep.
And the first sign we saw was walking in the Spirit. A mature Christian walks in the Spirit, and we went over what that meant. Last week, we said a mature Christian has knowledge and application of God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, we're going to talk about how the mature Christian knows how to love others. So that's what we're going to do, right?
I like it.
Sounds like it should be easy.
It sounds pretty basic, to be honest
with
you.
It does, but isn't? Well, let's see what Augustine has to say about it.
Oh, St. Augustine? My boy, St. Augustine?
Yeah, yeah. This one's for Joe. Got to bring in a saint. Anyways, what does love look like? It has the hands to help others. It has the feet to hasten to the poor and needy. It has the eyes to see misery and want. It has the ears to hear the sighs of the sorrows of men. That is what love looks like.
You know why, Fuller?
Because
we all need somebody to lean on. I love it. So what does love look like? Man, that is literally talking about it's feet to hasten to the poor and needy, eyes to see, ears to hear. That's what love looks
like. It's the hands and feet of Jesus.
That's a pretty baller quote.
It's being the hands and feet of Jesus. Augustine just took a lot longer to say it.
But I like how we talked about the hands, the feet, the eyes, and the ears. Yeah, like right. Love isn't just a
love listens.
Doing a service box or I'm going to go do this one thing to check off the list. It's using your body
right.
to be aware of your surrounding, living with eyes wide open to go do something about it.
So before we really see what a mature Christian looks like in loving others, we should probably first go to the knowledge and application portion like we talked about last week and go straight to the source, God's word, and what the Bible says
what
about
love. What
does
the Bible say?
So we've got a couple scriptures here tonight. We're going to start in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, right?
Let's go.
And most people, 1 John 4, 7 and 8, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and anyone that loves is born of God.
Did
and
you learn
God.
That in house church?
Yeah.
No one else knows that.
That's cool. It's a good scripture song.
I don't think anybody knows that song.
Dear friends, let us love one another because love is from God. It's an old Church of Christ song.
Because
love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God because
God is love.
God is love.
So we know that's the third song we sang tonight.
Boom. We're just dropping all sorts of songs. Anyways, the next scripture is Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. It's been a long night.
It has been.
Anyways, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of the Father in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward will you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? That's a big thing, right, for Jesus to say in that day.
Yep.
And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what are you doing out of the ordinary? So if you just greet the people at church, what are you doing? Don't even the Gentiles do the same?
Mm.
Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Isn't it funny how we always take that and be like, be perfect, be holy, be perfect, like your Father in heaven is perfect. But what is Christ talking about before?
And that's what being perfect means, loving your enemies and loving everybody.
It's loving people, right? Yeah. It's loving those who hate you. It's loving those who love you. It's loving everybody, right? And that's where it says, so that you may be children of the Father in heaven, right? In order to be children, you have to love. It's pretty interesting.
And and that's kind of throwing in a Ten Commandment here. We have the one Ten Commandment where it's don't take the Lord's name in vain. And a lot of times we take that as, don't swear, don't say, oh my goodness, just not oh my goodness. Oh, you're using God's name out of place, don't do that. But a lot of times I feel like we take God's name in vain with how we live. Because it's right here. It's saying the fact of you're not a child of God if you don't love other people the way I'm called you to love. You're taking God's name in vain. Isn't that kind of like I tell the kids where it's like, the Hydes don't do that.
Right.
Like this is what the Hydes do.
Yep.
And not saying that other people are right or people are wrong. This is just what the Hydes do. This is how we do it. And so there might be even a level, and we can talk about this a little bit later because I know we got one more verse to read, but it talks about the fact of where was that? Love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that way you may be children of your Father in heaven.
Yeah.
Which basically he's saying that's what God does.
Right. So let's read this.
Interesting thought.
We're gonna get into it.
Oh, okay.
Because that's gonna be the whole basis. We're gonna have basically like two main questions after this last scripture where we can just flesh it out looks like it's a mature Christian.
Right? Let's go.
So last one comes from the love chapter.
First
Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 and 8. And it really lays out what love is, right? What love should look like. What love should look like for children of God, for believers, for mature believers. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It isn't boastful. Is not arrogant. Is not rude. is not self-seeking, is not irritable, man, that's a hard one, and does not keep records of wrongs.
Now, that's the one that I struggle with.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Get that ledger.
Love finds no joy in unrighteousness. That's a hard one, right? Think about how many Christians out there love unrighteousness, right? But rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. That's a hard one. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. So, with that, those three scriptures in the back, well, not in the back, in the forethought.
In the front. This is in the front,
baby. In the forethought of our thoughts right now.
Yep.
How can we show love in our daily lives?
You want me to go first, or you
want
to go
first? Let's go, bro. You go for it.
I'm readjusting my position so I can look at you.
He's like,
because we got to get into that. This is the conversation pose right here, where I got my hand up in the face.
Yeah, because you know, okay, so if you saw my notes right now, there's nothing else but this question and one more question, and that's it. Like, this is conversation time, so let's go.
So how can we show love in our daily lives? Now, obviously, showing love to those who are kind to us or to our friends is still showing love to them. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think when Jesus says the fact of, where's the verse we're talking about? Don't even the tax collector do it. Oh, for if you love those who love 46. You, what reward will you have? Don't even tax collectors do the same. So that's, I mean, Jesus was saying the fact of that's normal. It's normal to love and be kind and treat people with dignity and respect for those who either A, do it back to you first, or B, you're just friends with, you know?
Yeah, I think if we were going to rephrase this, going into verse 47, instead of saying don't even the Gentiles, it'd be like, don't even the non-believers? Like, that's what it's saying, basically. Don't even the non-believers do the same?
Right, and they take care of one another and those who take care of them, and it's reciprocated. But, you know, where the true mark of a Christian is loving those who can't love you back. That's kind of what I was always under the impression of. Won't love you back. And, you know, sometimes it's really easy to look at other folks who are doing really cool things with really hard people who are really dealing in the grind and say, man, you're doing awesome. That's the way it's supposed to be. But when it's time for us to do it, it's really hard to step up and do it. Like, I think of, okay, so loving people who don't love you back. That's true religion is loving widows and orphans in their distress. There's a lot of folks out there that I would say we as, I mean, we're just going to jump into the thick of it now. Whereas we as middle class, upper middle class folk who are doing the work, doing the grind, can look around at people and say, yeah, you deserve what you had coming for you. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you don't need help. Like, you made a bunch of stupid decisions. Why should I help you? Like, I'm thinking homeless folks. I'm thinking folks who maybe even disagree with us completely when it comes to political, social issues. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we look at those people over there and it's like, our country is a wreck because of those idiots over there. And you hear that language, especially this year being a political election year, we're going to hear that all the time, where it's the fact of, I can't believe that stupid idiot from both sides of the aisle, whether it's right looking at left looking at right, middle looking at both sides.
We need to have a Thunderdome, by the way.
A Thunderdome.
Yeah, we need a Thunderdome.
So no more political debates.
Two men enter.
Well, you know, we'll finally not have a super old president. We'll have someone who can hang their own and not have their body break and get stuck somewhere.
Anyway, sorry.
But, you know, but a lot of times we as Christians and we as people who I would say are more self-made type people look at those people over there and say, you guys are a bunch of morons and we can't stand you. And I feel like this is where the rubber meets the road a little bit in Christianity. When we look at folks that think differently than us, talk differently than us, have a whole different worldview than us, we look at them and say, you're a bunch of morons, instead of saying, no, you're people who God made in his image, and I'm called to love you, even though you might not love me back because of my faith and my beliefs.
Yeah. No, yeah, and I mean, that's the hard part, right? Or you get into the question, like, how can I show love to that abusive person? Like, how do I do that, right? When I talk about enemy, or how do I...
Especially in
that person that hurt me, or that person that despitefully used me, or that person that totally wrecked my world, took advantage, you know? So that's where it's like...
It's hard not to get bitter, bro.
So that's... But if you look, right, what does 1 Corinthians talk about? It talks about love finds no joy in the unrighteous, right? So that to me, but rejoices in the truth. Love keeps no record of wrongs. So it's like, man, we can't rejoice when something bad, like, oh, you got what's coming to you. You know, we're not supposed to be rejoicing that. We're supposed to
But it doesn't turn a blind eye to unrighteousness either.
It doesn't turn a blind eye, but it does. So acknowledging and rejoicing are two different things, though. Right.
Lust finds no joy in unrighteousness.
Yeah, right. And then love keeps no record of wrongs. It's like, bro, that's like saying, you know, it's hard for us because it's like we see God. We're supposed to love and forgive like God. And God's like, I forgive you as far as the east is from the west, right? That's all infinity. And
Isaiah,
I pushed it out, right? I don't think about it no more. If you look at the entirety of scripture, he's like, no, I'm forgetting about that because I'm looking at Christ. And Christ is telling us to forgive and love the same way. And it's like, man, that's hard.
So here's jump into the weeds again.
Sure, yeah, let's
question
die.
Of, for some people, like I'm thinking of folks who were in a relationship, dating, engaged, marriage. It was verbally abusive, physically abusive. Yeah. How the heck is someone supposed to love not just someone who was mean to them or unkind, but someone who supposedly loved them
and despitefully used
just
them.
Destroyed them.
So, and this is where it gets into, we've talked about, I think it was on our toxic relationship.
Oh, how to deal with toxic relationships?
And
I'll see what episode number that
is. It comes back to this. Love does not mean invite. It does not mean I'm going to continue
141
to take
how to deal with toxic relationships.
Yeah, how to continue to, it's not talking about what it's talking about. This is the way I view love. I don't hold wrong against you. I do not wish ill upon you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to forgive, even though you're not asking for the forgiveness. I'm going to forgive you because it's really for me to forgive, right? Because it's me letting go and not holding on and harboring the bitterness. It's me wishing that God gets a hold of your life. God changes your heart. But it's not me necessarily having to put myself in that position.
Right, but real talk, I mean, as someone who has been, and I'm not going to say I was a victim of it, but the someone who had to walk through the path of being completely screwed over.
Yeah.
It's really, I'm being honest, it's really hard to look at someone and be like, man, I hope you get your life fixed up and God works them in, because It's very easy to say, bro, I hope you get what's coming because it's going to suck. Like, it's so easy to get into that spot. And, you know, I always thought I was great at forgiving people and great at loving folks. And I would say this has probably been the hardest journey I've had to walk with my ex. And, you know, Beth and I had this conversation the other day about, you know, what does it look like to actually forgive said person and not truly hold, not stuff over their head in terms of hold stuff over their head to make them feel better or feel worse, but more so to make ourselves feel better. Yeah. And because like it's very easy to look at someone and say, you know, I hope you get what's coming for you. I would not cry if a bus accidentally happened to pop out and, you know, something happens. But that's not right, because that's saying you still owe me something for how you treated
me. And so, you know, for me and my personal experience, that's how I felt about my own dad. You know, I grew up being physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually abused by my father my entire life. So when I was first moved out, right, I swore up and down, if my dad ever caught fire, I wouldn't spit or pee on him to put him out. Like, that was my attitude.
Dang.
Like, it was absolute despise and hate for my father.
And I think a lot of people right now listen might feel that, too.
And for me, now, years later, you know, now I see my father. My father's a changed man, right? God has gotten a hold of my father's life and changed who he is, right? So I know this is possible with God, that God can change people. And for me, it's taken a lot of years to work on that relationship. One, because it's my father, right? So it's a little bit different than, like, you and your situation where it's an ex-wife, right? You basically only have to deal with her on a day or weekly basis because you guys have kids together, which makes it difficult.
Very difficult.
But for me, it's my father, right? So, like, I, you know, not only is it me working on my relationship with my father, but it's also me trying to make sure and protect my children, who I don't want to see that stuff happen from their grandfather to them, right? And it's been a hard journey. I think God has much changed my heart, just as he has my father's heart, to a way of really understanding that forgiveness and love is beneficial for me.
Okay, so what do you mean?
So when I had still feelings of ill intent towards my father, every time I saw him or anytime conversations or he did something that reminded me, it tore me up. It had my stomach in knots and it just got me angry, right? Didn't get him angry at all. It didn't bother him.
It just set you up.
But it set me off, right? It made me get this anger inside of me where I would start sinning. What benefit was it to me?
Nothing.
And it was many times of crying out to God to take this from me. Help me to truly understand and forgive. And the forgiveness, and it seems like it might be selfish, like, okay, I want to truly forgive so I don't have these feelings anymore so I don't sin. But there's a newfound love for my father. Not as a father, but as a fallen creature who is just as screwed up as I am. Mm-hmm. Because if I look at myself and my sins, how am I any different? Yeah, it hurt me, and the only reason why it bothers me is because it hurt me, but I'm sure I've hurt others.
And that's where we see in Romans 3, where, like, you know, even where is there a difference between a Jew or Greek? And no, because all have sinned.
Right, but
that's what Romans 3 is all about.
For me to say I've never hurt anybody with my sin, I'd be fooling myself. We've all hurt somebody. Mm-hmm. Everybody here in this world has hurt somebody at some point.
Right, because your sin doesn't just affect you. It affects those around you.
And I know I've changed, and I want forgiveness. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to forgive somebody that wants forgiveness.
And Jesus even says, and this is a big passage to work out that I don't even know if we can work out right now. Oh, it's 9:24, by the way, Beth. But 9:24. But we see with... I had a brain fart because I saw 9:24.
See, that's your problem. You get too distracted. I'm going to start covering the times.
Well, it's 9:24.
That means nothing to nobody but you and Beth.
Yeah. No, keep going. I'll get my
We're starting something, and I started listening, and now I forgot where I was going. But
so no, but here's a thought I was thinking, kind of separate from that. You know, I'm thinking about someone right now, not someone, but just a random person, and you know, they might be in a position in a situation that is not something that they necessarily enjoy. Yeah. Like I'm thinking of a person who has a boss that they can't stand or, somebody's hand just shot up.
I got one, but I mean, that's my problem where God's working on my heart again.
Or working with a coworker where you can't stand that person, or maybe honestly your spouse is driving you nuts, or there's something that we've been talking in a foster care class that Beth and I are a part of where it's called blocked care. Where it's you can love a child so much, but it never reciprocates, which often results in actually us doing the same thing back to the kids. And it's a documented thing where when people treat you poorly, even it's kind of like there's also another book where it's like how do you feed the mouse that always bite you?
Yeah,
and there's the same idea with that in the workplace and in the family relationships. But you know, is there a time and a place where yes, we need to love and we need to be kind and patient with them, but does that mean that we have to be buddy-buddy good friends with them all the time too? I think that's kind of where my question goes, where it's like, okay, practically speaking, yes, I'm called to love them, but do I have to be friends with them? Or do I have to have a relationship with them, even though I don't really love them because they drive me up a stinking wall?
Well, I would say, just what I said a little bit ago, was that it does not necessarily mean you have to put yourself in that situation. Mm-hmm. But I think if you are avoiding the situation just because you don't want to deal with the situation, you should probably check your
heart. So let's think to that. So not wanting to deal with the situation. What do you mean by that?
So like it's easier. I don't like this person, so I'll just love him from a distance. That's not putting yourself in the situation because you just don't want to deal with it. Rather than saying, no, I'm going to put myself in this away from this position because it's protecting me and them from this toxicity. Mm-hmm. But doing it with a heart of love for them as well, right? And that's what it comes down to, is where is the heart condition at? And I can't answer that for people. You can answer it for you. I can answer it for me. And, you know, I don't know, Joe can answer it for Joe, right? I can't answer it for anybody but myself of what that looks like, of when it's time to say, yep, I'm going to love you, but at arm's length. Because this is what's going to be healthy for our relationship.
And maybe this is where's a good verse to bring into this too, is the fact of, like, when we have those bad relationships, right? Like I'm thinking family holidays, you got that one uncle, you got that cousin, you got that sibling that, let's just be honest, you can't stand.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you wouldn't say I hate that person, but it's like, I would really enjoy it better if they were not in the room. Like, we all have folks like that, or the coworker, or this, that, and the other. But I think where love comes in is where we're able to, A, show our Christian witness, because we're talking about being a mature Christian.
Yeah, right.
And the fact that a sign of a mature Christian is able to love unconditionally in right. all circumstances and situations. Right. But it's also when the time comes and the opportunity presents itself and you're interacting with this person, how are you going to choose to respond? And I think that's even the verse that I'm in, the word that seems to come back to all these things is like, you know, you have to choose to walk in the Spirit and put on the works of the Spirit, not the flesh. You have to choose to study the Scriptures and read the Bible. You have to choose to love a person because, you know, that one verse where it's like, you know, about what 1 Corinthians 13 does, but it pops in my head about, oh, what's that fiery coal verse? And it's Romans 12, 20, where it says, but if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for in doing such, you will be heaping fiery coals on his head. Kill him with kindness, baby.
But it's not doing it with the heart of, I'm going to kill you with kindness. Like that, that's where I think that is not a good saying.
Not a good mindset?
Because you're like, I'm doing it out of spite.
In order to shut them down.
Right.
And that is what God calls us to do.
And that is not what Paul is saying. And that is not the right
purpose. And you talk about the right heart, right purpose. But with this verse, it's the fact of the opportunity has rose for you to show practical love to your enemy. So like in the workplace, it could be as simple as ask him how their day is going. It could be like, hey, I got to get more coffee. Do you want something?
What was that verse where it talked about, you know, if a wife was saved and her husband wasn't, you know, to remain with him because her faith may bring him to faith,
bring him holiness.
Right. So it's
Ephesians.
So it's part, that's the way I look at it. Right. It's the ambassadorship. It all comes back to ambassador. Ooh,
okay,
me.
Yes, let's go.
It all comes back to, and this is where I'm gonna kind of land my thought here because we're already at the mark.
Yep.
My thought is
not me, Mark.
As a sign of a mature Christian recognizes that he is an ambassador of the Most High God and the Most High King, and in this world, in this sinful, fallen world, there will be people, there will be situations, there will be enemies of God that look to cause us to sin, watch us stumble, and hard situations where people were going to spit at us verbally, emotionally, spiritually. They're going to try to hurt us emotionally, physically, spiritually. And what is the sign of a mature Christian to do? It's to, in all situations, right? Concentration. I think of Corrie ten Boom, right? And how she learned to love the guards, right? It was a sign of maturity with her.
Which we look at that and be like, oh, good for her. But it's like, these are people who are killing her family members, 100%. Killing her friends, torturing folks. Like,
she embodied,
holy cow.
She embodied what an ambassador of Christ was. And it's that no matter what they do to you, learn to love. And the practicality of, should I love from afar? Should I not? That's between you and God. I don't think there is a hard, fast rule for that.
That's wisdom.
That's where the wisdom comes in. So I think it comes back to know who you serve, know that this time is short and there will be trials and tribulations, and know that by being faithful to God and loving others, you yourself could be the very straw that broke the proverbial camel's back in their situation between them and God.
And potentially you could also break years of generational quote-unquote trauma or curses or whatever in your own family, where the fact of there could be a lot of hard things that are in the family, but if you decide to step into that gap, you can legitimately change your trajectories for years.
Yep.
And this is not to say, I feel like out of all the ones you said to do so far that we've talked about, I feel like this might be the hardest conversation to think through, because reading your Bible, walking in the Spirit, those are all choices that are just between you and God.
Sure.
That's between you and Jesus. This one, though, is with other people. And when there's always the joke of, you know, ministry would be so easy if it weren't for the people.
But did you notice, and I just noticed this now, even though I didn't mean to put them in order, you got to walk in the Spirit. You got to have knowledge and wisdom in order to do this.
Exactly. And so, but it's one of those things where it's hard. And it's not always easy. Like, for the person who was supposed to be protected and their innocence was destroyed by somebody, their livelihoods were stolen and taken away, their marriages were destroyed, their kids have been like their kids have done terrible things to them, vice versa, all these different things. It's really hard to love someone that wants to see nothing else besides you get destroyed. And it's, but, okay, go ahead. You go ahead.
I was just going to say, yet, wasn't that us? When God sent his son to this earth for us, did he not yet love us in our sin and sacrifice himself for us in an act of true love?
And, you know, Jesus even says, but if for those who love you, what reward do you have? Which I think is a very interesting passage. But when it comes to, because we got to land the plane here. But when it comes to what is a mark of a spiritually mature Christian, it's the fact of you have love for one another, for those in the fellowship, for those you're friends with, but also those who want to see you fail and be destroyed, and all your enemy in all ways, shapes, or form. Now, we do have a lot of different podcast episodes where we talk about how do you speak the truth in love? How do you deal with toxic relationships?
Yeah.
How do you deal with some of these hard issues in life? We talked about forgiveness, why it's so hard, how to deal with anger. And so this conversation isn't so much about the how-to, but it's the fact of a mature Christian does do this because right. That's what we're called to do. And exactly. I like it what you said. If we change our mindset a little bit and we go, you know what? I am an ambassador. I am representing God in this. How is the best way to represent God in this moment?
Right.
If your enemy is hungry, the best way I can is give him something to eat. If he's thirsty, give him a little something to drink. Don't let him sit out there and be like, sucks to suck, doesn't it?
If he slaps you across the face, turn the other cheek. I mean, yeah, right.
And make sure we take care of those who can't take care of ourselves, because that's what yeah. love is required of us. And right. So as we land the plane in this conversation, this I think is so far one of the hardest ones we've talked about.
Yeah.
Especially for me, because I'm sitting, you can see my Russell of it's like I don't want to love that person anymore. I don't want yeah. what's best for certain people anymore. But if that's what it takes to be an ambassador, to follow Jesus, that's what I'm called to do. So it's time to choose and step up and do the right thing, huh? What does it look like? I guess I'll still work that one out.
Hey, you chose the wrong word this year.
What do you mean I chose the wrong word?
Yeah, you chose choose.
Should have chose a different word. Maybe I should have chose, you know, I don't know. Chose a different word, like faith. I don't know.
Anyways.
Oh, I don't even know how to end the plane besides that,
let's
dude.
Let's go. So fun
any other thoughts or fun facts?
Let's jump
all right,
fun
folks,
facts.
Let's do it.
Time for Fun Facts with Filler.
All right, my dude. So, right. What fun fact?
So,
the hippo one was fun.
So, fun fact is actually, I'm pretty sure it's a revisited fun fact.
Let's see if I remember it.
From our early days.
Okay, I haven't looked.
I'm pretty sure I did this in the early, like the first season.
Well, we did talk about going back to the basics.
We're going back to the basics. So, in the 16th century, it was fashionable to have black teeth. As the ruler of England, Queen Elizabeth I set the trend of the 1500s. She was known for her sweet tooth, but years of sugary treats took its toll on her teeth. Incredibly, her mouth, full of rotting teeth, inspired other women to blacken their teeth to match hers. So it was like a sign of royalty, black teeth.
Case in point, just because somebody doing it doesn't mean it's what's best.
Yeah, it doesn't mean it's the smartest.
Like, how, why, let's be honest, fashion trends in general are some of the stupidest things out there.
So you preachers and sneakers, you're going to end up with black teeth. You keep going down the way you're going.
Wow, wait a minute. That was a weird story. But so she loved sweet tooth so much that she had black. That is gross. Yeah,
her teeth were rotting and turned black, and it caused others to think it was like a fashion trend.
That's the case in point of, if they jump off a cliff, would you do it? And all of England goes, yeah, if the queen's doing it.
They said, you better believe it.
I got no segue. I don't have no dad jokes. That's just thinking funny right there.
Oh,
goodness. Well, guys, just like always, if there's a question that you would love for us to answer on the show, first, hit up the archive, see if we've answered that question. But you can always send us an email at realtalkchristianpodcast.com. Hey, we're open for it, man. We totally are here for it. But also, the best place to ask your questions is inside the Facebook group. You can ask your questions totally anonymously, but I like it when people don't, because then it's more like real talk.
Yeah.
But you, if you have a question, you're like, I don't know what to do. I'm kind of embarrassed to ask this question. Dude, you can go totally anonymous, ask your question, get advice and counsel from other like-minded Christians who are trying to, you know, walk the walk and talk the talk at the same time, and come alongside you and carry you through that. So make sure you check out the Facebook group.
And if you haven't already, go over to our YouTube page where you can see our pretty face. Hit that subscribe button and the bell notification, so when we're on, you are
aware. And if you watch on YouTube, you can see, I mean, this is the fourth episode in a row. I'm rocking the walk shirt. I'm rocking the RTC Ford green shirt that you can get over on the store. So that's basically, that's basically it. So go to realtalkchristianpodcast.com, hit that store tab, and you can get your RTC merch right over there. Anything else before we let these beautiful people go, Fuller?
No, sir.
All right, man. We love you guys. I mean, seriously, I mean, I have to say that now because of this episode. So we do love you guys. So until next time.
Take it easy.